Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. This is on page 549 if you're using one of the Bibles there in the seats. Psalm 121, and once again, there is a simple outline that's available if that's helpful to you. We've been taking a look at a psalm each evening service in my time with you. Lord willing, one more next week. But we come to Psalm 121 this evening. So please give your attention now to the Word of God. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's where we'll end the reading of God's Word. Let's stop and pray. Father, our help comes from you, the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And we ask you now to help us hear your word. Help us receive it with faith and lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives. Let us not just be hearers of your word. Let this not just be an intellectual exercise. Let us see Jesus Christ and see more of you and draw closer to you. Build up our faith. Encourage us. Holy Spirit, please use your word in us this evening. We ask in faith and calling upon the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 121 is honest about life. The psalmist knows that life is a difficult pilgrimage full of challenges, and that in this life, in this pilgrimage, we need help and we need hope along the way. We need someone to watch us and to keep us, to protect and preserve us. But Psalm 121 doesn't focus on our needs and our weaknesses, and the challenges. Rather, it points us to our help and our hope in this life. While not ignoring them, Psalm 121 takes the focus off of the challenges and the dangers and the mountains and valleys of life, and it places our focus where it should be, on the Lord, our keeper. And the Lord, through Psalm 121, wants you to look to Him tonight as pilgrims in the midst of your earthly journey and take comfort and courage. He wants you to see why you should fix your eyes on Him and know that you are okay. Know that you are kept. He will preserve you. He will keep you. And so, people of God, I invite you to hear God's call tonight through Psalm 121 to faith in Him, to lift your eyes to Him in this pilgrim life. Psalm 121 calls you to lift your eyes to the Lord, who is your keeper during your journey through life. That is the challenge and the encouragement from God's word to you tonight, to lift your eyes to your Lord, who is your keeper, as you make your pilgrim journey through this life. Well, let's jump in to Psalm 121 tonight, and I want to consider three parts of this psalm: your pilgrim life, your source of help, and then finally, your constant keeper. So first of all, your pilgrim life. Look again at verse 1 and actually at the title first, a song of ascents. And then verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Well, Psalm 121 is a part of a group of 15 psalms that share this same title, a song of ascents. And these psalms, these particular psalms, were used by pilgrims on their way up to worship in Jerusalem for one of the annual feasts. And so as we look at this psalm, I want you to picture an Old Testament believer walking, journeying up to Jerusalem. And depending on where he was from, it could have been a long journey by foot. And picture him singing this psalm as he journeyed, this psalm among the other songs of ascents. And think about how he might lift his eyes to the hills up ahead that he would have to traverse on his way up to Jerusalem. The opening line here in verse 1 acknowledges the reality of that pilgrimage, that journey. It would be a demanding and difficult journey. There would be hills to climb, difficult terrain to navigate. He wouldn't take a bus or a train. There were no highways. As they made that journey, there was topography. There were climbs. There were descents. Possibly heat and cold, bad weather, wild animals, robbers, rocks, cliffs. And so as the pilgrim lifts his eyes to the hills up ahead, the hills that would be climbed, and thinks how it's not going to be easy, how it's going to be demanding, he acknowledges, I'm going to need strength. I'm going to need protection and help. And it raises the question, where is that help going to come from? How am I going to do it? Traveling is complicated and wearisome even today. You can ask Bruce about that from his trip this weekend. But it was even more difficult and challenging in the ancient world. There was a lot that could go wrong for the Old Testament pilgrim. Well, a lot can go wrong for us as well as New Testament pilgrims today, and it is not an easy journey. Of course, we don't make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem each year on foot, but we are pilgrims on the way to the heavenly Jerusalem. And this psalm can be a help for us on our pilgrim journey, which includes hills of a different sort, dangers and difficulties, and of course the need for help. And the pressing question here in verse 1, from whence comes my help? From where am I going to be helped? That's a question that we need to ask as well. Can you relate to that question? Can you relate to facing challenges and uphill climbs where you think, how am I going to do it? How am I going to get through that? How am I going to get over that? I know I'm going to need help, but I don't know where it's going to come from, who it's going to come from. You may wake up sometimes in the morning or stop and think during the day and you think, how am I going to get through this day? How am I going to get through this semester, this pregnancy, this pandemic, this difficult relationship? How am I going to move forward in my career? How am I going to overcome this sin, this error, this doubt? From where is my help going to come from? And brothers and sisters, we are pilgrims on our way to glory, to the heavenly Jerusalem. We are ascending, if you will. And this pilgrim life, though, brings no few number of hills of all different shapes and sizes. It's hard. And we need to not act as though the hills aren't there, but we must acknowledge them. We must acknowledge our need for help. And that's the starting point. That's where this psalm starts. Remember, we too are pilgrims on a journey. And we can't do it on our own. We need to lift our eyes and acknowledge those hills that lie ahead, but not fixate on them and not keep our gaze there. I want you to notice that the psalmist immediately answers this opening question with an affirmation of faith and a shifting of his gaze to where his help does come and will come from. And so I want us to consider that second tonight, your source of help. How is this question answered? Where does his help and your help come from? Look at verse 2. Right after asking, from whence comes my help? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Where does your help come from? How are you going to be able to overcome the hills and the obstacles of this pilgrim life? Not on your own. Not ultimately from anything or anyone in this creation, but from the Creator, the Lord, Yahweh, the God who redeems His people and the God who made the heaven and the earth. In verse 2 and for the remainder of this psalm, our gaze is lifted above and beyond the hills to the Creator of the hills, to the Lord who made heaven and earth, who has power and ability and desire to help us in our journey. And verse 2 is a simple but deep, moving confession of faith. Look at it again. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Is that where your help comes from? Is that where your hope is? God helps His people. He is their help. He's their source of strength and protection and aid. He's the one you and I need as pilgrims in this difficult and dangerous journey of life. He's the one who's given us the Holy Spirit to be with us forever as our helper, as Jesus promised in John 14:16. My help comes from the Lord. I wonder if any of you have ever had someone say to you, you know what, you need help. You need help. It can come across as an insult, even if it's meant well. But God's Word tells all of us, you need help. We need help. And if we're honest, we have to agree. We need help, not just because of our sin and our guilt and our need for a Savior, which God has provided, but even as redeemed people, as His children, we need help to walk in His ways. We need help to overcome evil, to avoid temptation, as we were thinking about this morning. We need help to persevere through trials, through pain, through the circumstances of this life, through loss, through the ups and downs of this earthly pilgrim journey. But the good news is God tells us in His Word, I am your help. You've got help and it's me. Your help comes from me. Friends, do you believe that? Can you say, can you confess with faith Psalm 121, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord? It's easy to say that, but hard to believe it. At times, hard to live it out. It's often easier to look for help somewhere else, to try to help ourselves, to try to find the strength from within or from out in the world and all of its helps. What are you drawn to look for help in, to place your trust in other than the Lord? Some people think that verse 1 may refer to things other than God that we can be tempted to trust in. Things that appear to be bigger and stronger than us, like hills that are firm and fixed, that can be places of refuge. And perhaps the psalmist could have thought of the hills in that way, a means of help. But he quickly moves and says, God must be your help. And he can be. And the remainder of the psalm gives reasons why. Because he is the one who constantly keeps you, constantly watches and preserves you. And so I want us to consider third and in a little bit greater length this evening, your constant keeper. Your constant keeper. Look with me again at verses 3 through 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is the one who keeps you. God is the one who keeps Israel, his people. He keeps your foot from being moved, from slipping and stumbling on your journey over the hills. And he does it constantly. The psalmist says he will never slumber. He never takes a break. He never takes a nap. He won't fall asleep on the job. There's never a time when he can't keep up with keeping you and keeping all of his people. He never fatigues. He never takes time off. And that thought leads to the central line and the central theme of Psalm 121 in verse 5. Look at verse 5 again. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord is your keeper. That word keep or keeper or preserve, it's the same Hebrew root. It's used 6 times in Psalm 121. And the name Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is used 5 times. So do you see where the focus is in Psalm 121? The focus is on Him. In His activity, His role of constantly keeping you, watching you, preserving you. Psalm 121 has a simple poetic structure. There are 8 couplets, double lines. And right in the middle is this central promise, this central reality for the believer then and now. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. That is the big idea, the main point of this psalm. And if you're falling asleep or not hearing anything else, get this point here in verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is my keeper. The covenant God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the only God, the only Lord and Redeemer, actively keeps you, watches you, cares for you. He is your personal keeper. And it's so personal and constant. The psalmist says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. I love that picture. That is, he never leaves your side. He's like a shadow that is always with you. Think about that. Meditate on that. Recite that to yourself. The Lord is my keeper. He is my shade at my right hand. He never leaves my side. When you're tired, when you're overwhelmed, when you're sick, when you're afraid, when you're overcome with grief, when you're lonely, when you lift your eyes to the hills that lie ahead, when you lie down, when you wake up, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my keeper. The psalm then goes on to describe the completeness and the constancy of the Lord's keeping. Verse 6, he keeps you by night and by day. Verse 8, he keeps your going out and coming in. The psalmist could hardly express a more comprehensive picture of God's constant and all-encompassing keeping, watching, preserving, and protecting his people. And it's so complete, it never ends. Look at verse 8. The Lord shall preserve you or keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. None of us in this room know the future. We do not know what tomorrow will hold. We don't know the hills and the difficulties and the dangers that lie ahead. But if you are the Lord's, if you are kept by God, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you do know this, you can know this. The Lord will keep you forever. You can be certain of that. What a promise. From this time forth, even forevermore, the Lord will keep you. Now, at this point, you might be scratching your head a little bit, thinking, well, amen, that sounds great, but I don't always feel that. I don't always experience that. I don't always see this in the lives of pilgrims, believers. What about when we fall into sin? Doubt, depression. We do stumble, don't we? People walk away from the Lord. Or how is verse 7 true when Christians commit evil? When they suffer physical harm or when they die? Look at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Those are important questions. What about when God allows sin and suffering? We need to understand that Psalm 121 is not telling us that God will instantaneously sanctify us, that we'll be free from all sin. Psalm 121 is not saying God will grant us immortality, eternal life right now. We will still experience the curse of death until Christ returns. It's not saying that God will free us right now from all the effects of the fall and sin and from their consequences. Psalm 121 is not saying that God won't let us stumble at times, that He won't refine us with trials, that He won't humble us and discipline us in love as His children, that He won't challenge our faith in the hills and in the pilgrimage of this life. What I think Psalm 121 is saying is that God will keep us through all of that. It's not promising that we won't experience these things. The promise and the hope here is that God will watch us and keep us and preserve us through all of this. He will keep us in an ultimate and comprehensive sense. He will not lose us. And so we can say He will keep our life. He will keep us body and soul, our whole living being. He may allow injury or disease, discouragement, death, but nothing will separate us from His redeeming work for us. And our lives, ultimately, if we are in Christ, will go on forever because we are united to Christ. Nothing will ever happen to us outside of His plan and His control. That's not for our good. And one day we will be perfected and given immortal bodies united with our souls, free from all evil, in the glory of God's presence. And so the awesome reality and promise that Psalm 121 is getting you to lay hold of is both present and future. It's comprehensive. It has in view your whole life, your whole being, body and soul, your whole existence, now and forever. And what a comfort that is. What a privileged position. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil, ultimately. The Lord shall preserve your soul. What reason for hope and courage and perseverance and faith and to continue the pilgrimage that we're on. What reason for worship and joy. And this is really a truth and a promise, a reality that we see all throughout the Scripture for people of God. I just want you to listen to a few verses. And you can stop writing or just listen, and I can give you these references later if you want. But just listen to the Word of God. Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 73, verse 26, we sang this earlier. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 139, verse 7 and following. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Matthew 28:20, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Romans 8:38 and 39, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I could go on and on and on. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord keeps His people. And if you are His by faith in Jesus Christ, then He is yours. And He is your keeper. Do not fear. His keeping you is constant and never ending. It's comprehensive. And can you see just a little bit tonight how this truth, this promise could be so empowering? It can be dynamite, transformative. This travels, this works always and everywhere for the child of God, for the pilgrim of faith. There's never a time or a place when you are not kept by Him. It's not based on how you feel or whether you believe that a lot or a little in the moment. It is based on Him, His character and His promises, His love, His power. Because Christ has lived and died for you and sealed you with His blood and risen again for you. Life is a difficult, dangerous pilgrimage. There's no question about that. But you have help. You have a helper, the Lord. You have one who will never leave or forsake you, but will keep you in His everlasting arms, in His grace now and forever. And so set your eyes not on what strength you do or don't have, not on the hills that you must climb. Set your eyes not on others who are on the wide and easy path, but set them on the Lord, your keeper. I don't remember the details, but I once heard a story of a man who had learned this. And maybe he had gotten it from Psalm 121, but he lived out this reality that God was his keeper. And it was reflected in how he answered a very simple question, very common question. Whenever he was asked, how are you? His response captured the truth of Psalm 121. Think about how you often respond to that question. How are you? Fine. Good, thanks. Or how about you? I'm good. Or I've had better days. How do you respond to that question? Well, this man always responded with one simple word. When he was asked, how are you? He would reply, kept. Kept. And it was always a completely true, accurate answer for this brother in Christ. No matter where he was, no matter how he felt, no matter the time or the place or the circumstances, whether he was sad or joyful, in pain or delight, he was kept. Kept by his keeper, who never slumbered or slept. Is that true of you? Are you kept? Can you answer that way, this question, how are you? Can you answer the opening question, where is my help from, by saying, my help comes from the Lord? If you can't, then don't look for help, don't look for a keeper anywhere else. There is only one. Come to Him. Ask Him to save you and keep you through Christ, who perfectly keeps all His sheep. Don't leave here tonight without a keeper. Don't try to live one more day in this dangerous, difficult life without the Lord as your keeper. But if you are His tonight, then no matter where or when, if you are trusting in Christ, if you are one of God's people, if you are His pilgrim, His child on your way to glory, then you are kept. You are kept, and you need to know that and believe that and be encouraged and empowered by that. You need to persevere in your pilgrimage because you are kept. You can live in light of that and lean on that. You can know that you will never be separated from your keeper. Psalm 121 calls you to lift your eyes to your keeper in your journey through this life. And I want to leave you once again, as I did this morning, with the words of Jude 24 and 25, which fixes your eyes and your praise on the Lord, your keeper. Now to Him who is able to keep you, to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, what a simple sentence that is, and yet what a great comfort. The Lord is your keeper. My help comes from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for laying down your life, for being rejected, so that we might be kept, that we might be welcomed and adopted. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that no one can snatch us out of your hand. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Keep us, Lord. Keep our eyes fixed on you, as we do have hills to climb. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for never sleeping, never taking your eyes off of us, but always keeping us through Jesus Christ. We pray it in His name. Amen.